Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
What happened with your first engagement? I'm being cheeky, you don't have to answer. Wait, when we start recording, can you be like, Lizzie McGuire, you are an outfit repeater.
And we said we've done that already.
Oh, we have?
Yeah, we have. Oh.
Damn it. Damn it. Not me recycling our joke.
It wasn't even that long ago. I remember saying it recently.
Damn.
But why would this be an outfit repeater?
Because if you know, you know. When I posted on our Instagram, follow us at Cousin Connection Pod, it was like a thumbnail photo that we had taken like maybe last year.
Yeah.
Or something, or the year before. No,
honestly,
I still had braces.
It might be like 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago. Years ago, I think. And I was like, oh, you know what? That's kind of like a cute fit. Like, let me wear it again. Mm-hmm. Except I was wearing leather pants and it's 31 degrees in Toronto.
You wore leather pants at some point in your life?
First of all, it's a fashion statement.
Okay, but like it seems very uncomfortable.
No, they were comfortable.
Were they?
Yeah, it was this exact top. This is this exact jacket. So I was trying to channel that energy. Mm-hmm. But it is so hot in here. And I said, why?
It's hot in general. Today is a hot. Like, we went outside for the farmer's market this morning.
Was it hot in the morning, too?
Oh, yeah. Like,
actually, it was.
Low key, it wasn't like the morning. It was like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it was hot. Yeah, you're right.
It was really hot. Like, the moment we stepped outside and got into the sun, we were already dripping in sweat. At least I was. Yeah. And my mom, oh my God. Because our mom came over too.
Yeah.
I felt so bad. Yeah. we were looking for spots where there was a seat that was covered in shade.
Yeah.
Just so she could take a break because it was bad.
Really?
But the farmer's market was nice. I got a brookie.
A brownie cookie.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, what is that?
It was actually really good. I wasn't a big fan of it, but I liked it. It was really good. And it was like perfectly melded. Like it wasn't like it was literally like a half cookie, half brownie. Mm. Like it was brownie looked on one, but then like when you actually started biting into it, you could see like the cookie kind of like molded into it and the brownie kind of molded into it in the middle. So it was good.
Did you get the best? It was recently placed. Of both worlds.
I did bite through the middle just to see how it would be, and it was good. Yeah? I liked it. Yeah. And it was only like $4, which is...
That's not horrible.
No, the thing... Okay, guys.
That's not horrible.
For those out there who are like, $4, that sounds like a lot. In Toronto, like, prices with Toronto, like, what do they call it? Markup?
Yeah,
it's actually pretty good. Like, you'll get a regular small-size cookie for like $5 in some places.
Yeah, more. Six, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, like... 5 years ago when we used to go to like Starbucks and stuff like that. You know, we're not going to Starbucks, you know, already know why, but back then when I used to buy a cookie from there, I think it was like $5 or like,
no, I think the Starbucks cookies were like,
it was
I don't know,
maybe
I never
just
got
as much as that
there.
Cookie that I got, but the one I got was like the size of my face. It was good.
The brookie?
Yeah, it was.
That's
it was pretty
big,
big.
For $4.
Yeah,
not bad.
And they had like regular other ones that are regular cookies like for $3.50.
That's a little expensive.
Is it
$3.50 for just a basic chocolate chip cookie?
Yeah, that's a lot. Compared to the other price in the area.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. I knew you were going to do it. I was trying to beat you to it.
To the what?
I was trying to beat you to it.
To the what?
To the podcast.
No, what?
Oh. Huh?
To the cousin? Oh. Just do it. Oh.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection
podcast.
Oh, that was
what happened?
No, because I was flabbergasted that you did not understand what I was saying. Okay?
I thought you were like, you don't even want to know what I was going to reference.
Well, you know, today we're referencing weird things in our mind. Kay. Earlier, like what you mentioned, I'm not going to bring out what we're talking about, but I like made a connection that should never have been made in my mind.
Oh,
come on now.
Damn it.
This intro is like a mess. Now they're going to see your feet.
I know. No. This is not, like I said when we first hit record, this is not Feet Finder. No toes for free.
The reason you, oh, toes were peeking out there.
I know they were. Don't zoom in because I know you will.
I will. I'll cut it off like right before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I was going to reference?
What?
When you're like, to the what? You know that one guy that watches those videos of people like restocking things? And he'll be like, to the what? To the brim.
What?
I've never.
You're on a different side of TikTok.
Coming straight back. Oh, sliding straight into them shower gel DMs. Go on. To the what? To the goddamn brim.
If anyone knows what I'm talking about, it's that British guy. And he's always like freaking out when someone doesn't fill the container all the way. You've never seen that?
Nah.
You know what I was like so close to sending you today on Instagram?
What?
A monkey video.
Nah, I wouldn't watch it. Honestly, I probably wouldn't even see it because I haven't been on Instagram in so long.
I know.
And I'm going to come back to Instagram. That's my announcement. I'm coming back to Instagram. I feel like it's about time.
Yeah.
I have a lot of messages to get to.
I'll forcefully show you after we're done recording.
Okay. Well, you'll show up to both of us because I don't know if I can handle it by myself.
It's really cute. It's really cute. It'll remind you of like us as kids.
What?
And it's
that's
not
racist.
It's not okay. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Okay. Why are you doing that?
I'm just saying.
That's not what
referencing monkeys. You say remind us of us kids. You know.
That's literally not even the context. You'll know what I mean when you see it.
Okay. We'll see.
Anywho, mm-hmm. What I was trying to say was, last week we told y'all that we haven't done a Q&A in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So you asked and we are going to deliver. But before we get into the questions, mm-hmm. What do they need to do? Remind them.
Subscribe to the channel.
Thank you.
Make sure you hit the like button. And also, you know, if you really like us, you can leave a comment down there. It helps with the algorithm. And also just, you know, hit that bell button. I think the bell still helps.
I think so. Because then they'll get notified when we upload.
Yeah.
I got a pretty scary, threatening DM, actually, at 1:59 on Thursday saying, where is my new episode this week, Sarah? And I was like, whoa.
Hey.
Chill. It's there. Exactly. Just refresh your page.
If you're a true fan, you know it drops at 2 p.m.
Exactly.
Every Thursday.
You were just 1 minute early. Mm-hmm. We love the punctuality, though. Okay.
But yeah, so, let's we haven't done this in a while, I don't know how we started this, but let's just get right into the questions.
Okay.
I haven't looked at them yet. I had a little peek of a couple of them, but apparently we got some interesting ones.
Okay, we'll do the ones on the Cousin Connection page first, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's pull them up. All right. Let's see all. First one from Halfnote 416. When's your next live show?
Oh, yeah. We kind of abandoned that for a bit.
We did. We abandoned that idea. You know what? Like, give us some time. We might make it like an annual December thing.
You know what it is? I feel like Toronto summer is like a vortex.
It is, yeah.
It's like, it just sucks you in.
Yeah.
And you're just doing so much that you kind of forget to, you know, give the love and attention to the things that really matter. At least the extracurricular activities you're into.
Yeah, like it's, if you're from Toronto, you know you only get like 3 months of summer.
Exactly.
So we're trying to be outside.
Yeah.
Not inside.
We'll
but
bring y'all.
You know, we will definitely try.
No, but we were thinking of doing, I think we've mentioned already, we're thinking of doing like some type of game night.
Yeah, maybe, that's so like on brand for us.
Yeah, maybe not like the exact same thing that we did last time where it was more like you guys were just watching us on stage, but something more interactive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was hard to get y'all to interact last time on the live show.
Everyone was so shy.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that people are a little bit more open and like maybe have more icebreakers so people don't feel as shy.
Let us know if you guys would be interested in like a Cousin Connection game night, mm-hmm. a third space. Huh? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All right.
Shout out to Sada's idea for the studio
I'm
space.
I'm thinking big. Okay, next one from SaintCute15. Why don't you bring all the boys from Huddle Talk on the pod?
Is Huddle Talk fully back yet?
I think so. I saw that they started
posting.
Let
me posting
pull
this again. Up. One second. Let me see. Because last I heard,
they take more breaks, I think.
Yeah, let me pull this up.
But let's not shame them for taking breaks. I mean, fun fact, for those of you that didn't know, I think this was like 4 years ago when mm-hmm. we first met Khalid at an event. He invited us on to the podcast and we recorded with the Huddle Talk boys at their studio. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the footage got lost and never saw the light of day.
Yeah.
And then when we had Khalid on, at the time, I think we didn't actually have this couch yet. So we only had room for one person.
The first time, yeah.
The first time. Mm-hmm. But now we have a little bit more space. Like mm-hmm. we could accommodate two guests. Mm-hmm. So Huddle Talk, if you're listening, hit us up.
Hit us up again, okay?
Hi, Kia. We'll I could just work. Text Khaled right now and be like, sorry. Right? y'all should come on. But yeah, inshallah, mm-hmm. soon.
Yeah.
Okay, Amal Safi says, I'm moving to Canada with my family this year, inshallah. Can you give me any advice? I'm 18.
Where is she moving from?
I don't know.
She didn't say, right?
No.
But if she's moving, it depends on where you're going, right? Because, like, hopefully if you're moving here, you're coming to, you know, Toronto, which is a bigger city. Then it's like, find your community. I'm assuming you're Muslim. So, like, you know, go to your local mosque. Follow if you're like, you know, clearly you're on Instagram, follow all of like the local Toronto Muslim pages.
Yeah.
They usually have a lot of events going on. So, you know, try and see if you have time after you've kind of established yourself a little bit, go to those events. And that's how you make new friends, essentially, right? By going to the events, just being out there.
I mean, she's only 18, so I'm assuming you're probably still in school. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to make friends
at school, for sure.
And, like, you know, when it comes time to finding a job, inshallah, it's easy for you. But honestly, enjoy the city. I wish I could experience Toronto from the lens of a tourist. Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't get to appreciate it as much, but sometimes we do.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So there's a lot to do.
Well, like, that's how my summer has been recently. Like, I've been in the tourist mindset because I'm trying to show, like, Hanan, my wife, around and, like, what the city has to offer. So I'm literally, that's another thing to do also, is go on TikTok and literally just search up what's going on this weekend in Toronto, or what's going on this month in Toronto. And that will help us for sure.
Yeah.
But generally, let's say you're not in Toronto, you're just going to a different place, try and find your community as quickly as possible. And when I say, I mean like your Muslim community, essentially, because that's, I feel like, where you're going to get the most support, the positive support.
Right.
That also, you know, like, their values align with yours as well.
Yeah. That's pretty good advice.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, you know.
That's good advice.
Sounds like I'm doing this for you.
Another advice question.
What?
Advice on starting a podcast.
On starting a podcast?
Yeah. I know what Amir's going to say.
What?
Just start.
Yeah, honestly, if you want to do something, just start it.
See what I mean? No, but, like, maybe we should film. I feel like we've gotten this question a few times. Should we film, like, an in-depth, like, how to actually start? Like, one, I think it's easy to say, like, find your niche. But if you don't actually have one, or you're struggling to find it, you might want to try experimenting early on, like, talking about a bunch of different things. And maybe don't do it for the views, because then you might lose the authenticity.
Actually, no. Nowadays, I would say try and find your niche.
Yeah, but you do that by talking about, like, a bunch of different things and finding, like, what actually, like, what you're passionate about.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Like, I'm just saying, like, if that person knows what they want, like, let's say they're really interested in model trains. You know, try and find the model train community.
Okay.
You know, start leaving comments on the model train boards, being like, I have a podcast. You know, start promoting yourself in those communities.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one that's more general.
Okay. I'll use us as an example. Yeah. So a lot of you know how we started. I got into, like, mental health podcasts, relationship podcasts. Amir kind of did the more, like, general information, like,
yeah, like, news,
Joe Rogan vibes. And so we kind of just, like, morphed the two, like, our interests into one, which is why you'll notice we cover so many different topics, because they're topics that interest us both. And it's, like, enough for us to be like, let me tell Amir about this mental health phenomenon, and Amir is gonna be like, let me tell Sara about this, like, global issue that's happening.
Yeah.
And then we're both learning, and we take, like, from what each other is sharing. And so do you guys. So that's our niche.
Yeah,
I guess.
And now that we've said, like, okay, find your niche or whatever, make sure you use all the platforms.
Yeah.
So, like, don't only stick to, like, I don't know, let's start, you start on Spotify for, like, distributing your stuff. Also, video is a big part of it. Like, it depends on if you're comfortable being on video, but make sure you have some video, because then it makes it more flexible in, like, where you can put your stuff. So now you can put it on TikTok.
Yep.
And when it comes to finding niches, TikTok is, like, the best for that kind of thing.
Yep.
Because once people see what you're talking about, like, you know, I'm into like Marvel and DC stuff, right? Mm. So I follow and like watch multiple podcasts on TikTok, almost TikTok exclusively, where they talk about that kind of stuff, right? And then, you know, once you start liking the people, you say, hey, where else can I find them? You go on YouTube, right, to watch their full videos,
right?
That kind of, and sometimes you'd be like, oh, I didn't know. You might already watch follow page, but then like you don't realize that they put out a new episode.
Yeah.
So you go on that page and then you're like, oh, okay, now I can find out what they were actually talking about, the full context.
That's true.
That kind of thing. So just make sure once you do start, if you want it to become bigger, that's another thing to do. Just make sure you put it on all platforms, just, you know, shotgun method.
Basically.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, just start it. Even if you just have your phone, like people have started podcasts just off their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And grown it into something that they've never imagined. So
that's how we started.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm.
On Amir's Google Pixel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we use my Google Pixel.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that.
Crazy.
Whatever you have in your hand currently, whatever you made to, whatever you used to put in that question, you can use that to start a podcast.
Yeah. Is it possible to have a career midlife crisis where you've worked so hard for a career and at the end it's not making you happy? Advice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I feel like that's higher, like the likelihood of that happening is higher in our community, in the immigrant community. Like in the Why communities where parents specifically ask their child to be like one of four different job categories, whether it be lawyer, doctor, engineer, or what's the fourth one? Or maybe it's just a three.
Those accountant.
Things, accountant, yeah, maybe accountant, right? So I feel like a lot of people end up doing that and then... Once they feel like they've like made their parents happy, then it's when they find their real passion or when they're in that career, which honestly sometimes might actually be a good thing because like they're now that they're okay, it's not a good thing in that like now they have like 10 years to catch up on or whatever, but sometimes it's easier to make those changes when you've already like when you have something to fall back on.
Are you talking like, about like their like money? Like
yeah,
money
like
that they've saved.
They can save more money because they usually whenever you do get pushed into a career like that, or you feel like you're pushed into a career like that, you at least are making the money that that career usually, the benefits that career comes with, right?
I do think that's one scenario, but I think the other scenario too is like for people that live in these like major metropolitan cities where the cost of living is high.
Mm-hmm.
I know for like. Our generation, a lot of times what people end up doing when they graduate is like, or even when they're applying to university, is not even like, what am I passionate about? It's like
what makes more money?
What's going to make me the most amount of money? Yeah. Literally. And especially now with the extreme like reach of TikTok and just social media in general, I've seen so many people that are like I've never.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
Never thought about this as a career, but anesthesiologists
make I've heard about that. Yeah.
Much money that now I'm like, should I have done that?
Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of tried to start making that caveat where I was saying, oh, maybe it is a good thing to like set yourself up first in a good career that makes some good money. Because like using us as an example, we went into careers where, like, maybe if we didn't have those same pressures, we wouldn't find ourselves in. Like, if you didn't have those same pressures from your parents, would you find yourself in HR? Or I don't know, that's the title of your job, but.
That's right? Like the umbrella over it.
Yeah, exactly.
To be honest, they never actually pressured me to go to into HR. My brother
so you're
did.
Then. Yeah, there you go.
But he was like the third parent. No, because you know what my passion was? Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a veterinarian.
See? But
I would have made more money there.
Actually, yeah, you low-key would have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess no one else really kind of deals with that. And also veterinarians, you're dealing with dogs and stuff like
that.
That's
exactly what my mom said. Yeah, she's like, what are you going to do when you have to operate on a pig? I was like, I'm wearing gloves, mom. Also, that's so rare. Like, I'm not working in the countryside.
Yeah.
Well, you never know.
It's not like you're eating it. You're helping it.
Yeah.
You're doing good things.
This is a rewardable thing, is it not? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it's still honorable and or rewardable in some
way. Saving animals.
Yeah, you're saving an animal, right? Exactly.
I don't know. But anyway, like...
That's where it kind of backfired then, because, yeah, it could have been a good thing, yeah.
Man.
But, yeah, like, I've seen multiple cases where people do go into a job, like, becoming, maybe not a doctor, because that one, you're like, requires multiple years. But let's say you become a nurse, or you become, like, a lawyer, or an accountant, or an engineer. And then, now that they have that, like, secure job, like, they feel secure, they start working on their other passion, like, they work their 9 to 5, and then from their 5 to 9, they're working on whatever their other passion is until they build it up to a level to where they feel like it can take over whatever their 9 to 5 was. It gives them like some capital to start with.
That's a very ideal scenario.
It is ideal, but I'm saying like that is something I've seen a lot or a few times now, at least. It is very anecdotal, though.
I've seen the opposite, actually. Mm-hmm. So interesting that we got this question, because I have friends who I've literally watched like the light in their eyes be completely like disappearing because of how like unsatisfied they are at work. And it's very sad, like when someone, like when it affects them that much and you see them coming into work and they're just like dragging their feet and they're like, ugh, like I'm here because I have to, like because I'm getting paid and I have to be here. And right now, currently, the Toronto job market isn't even the best. So it's really hard. Like, high key, if you hate your job, honestly, like, thug it out.
Yeah.
Because if you quit, you might not get another opportunity. Mm-hmm. It depends. Like, it's so tough right now, but it's hard. Like, it's very common to have a midlife crisis in your career. I think, like Amir said, try and like, thug it out with your day job, but then use your evenings, your 5 to 9 to... try and find what you're passionate about. And just because you don't like your current job doesn't mean you can't move around within the company. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you might start at a company and you might hate your current job, but that's where networking really comes into play. Like for me, when I'm in the corporate environment, and you know, people always say like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that is so true. Like it's so true. Like, yeah, of course you have to be smart to some extent. But more than just intelligence, I think you just have to have like the willingness to learn and to try, and just like sometimes the gift of gab really gets you far in life. So I guess the career advice is network. And, you know, sometimes you meet people and you're just like, I really like, tell me about what you do in the company, and they tell you their job and you're like, that sounds really interesting. Like, you know, I would be interested. Like, please keep me in mind. I can forward you my resume or build like a mentorship relationship. For example, I networked with someone who had the exact same name as me because we kept getting each other's emails. And so one day she's like, you want to just grab a coffee one day? I was like, sure. Like literally we both had the same name. And so we went for coffee and then we became like friends. And sometimes she'll be like, hey Sarah, long time, here's an email that was meant for you. So just like stalk your teams or Slack or whatever. What do people Clack or Slack? What is that?
Slack,
yeah. I was like, what is it called?
Do you not use it?
No, I use Teams.
You guys use Teams? Yeah, we use Teams,
It's a Teams company over here. Same, but stalk it, I don't know. Like, use whatever company database to, like, look at who works in your company. If you see someone in the elevator, flash them a smile.
Wait,
I don't know.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Nothing.
I know what you were going to say. I knew it. You know what you were going to say?
What?
Flash the white man's smile?
No. Oh. Because you said you see something, someone flash them.
No, that's
and
not.
And then you paused.
Because I was contemplating if I should say the white man smile or not.
Hold on. You know, the like awkward smile and the head nod.
Exactly. Exactly. I didn't mean literally flash them. You will get fired. Don't do that. But yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the whoever you're flashing. I'm just saying, okay.
That's might, crazy.
Like get you, you know, you might find your way up. That's way up the ladder.
Ray, do not listen to him.
I'm playing. But when it comes to the whole, I just hope that when you do have this whole midlife career crisis, whatever, it's going to be much harder if you already have established a family, because it's even harder to take that risk.
Yes,
and to dedicate that 5 to 9 to whatever you're passionate about. I've seen a lot of people do it, right?
But even like, let's say you are part of like a dual income family, like you and your spouse work, and if you have a really supportive spouse that maybe their income can support both of you if, for example, you decide to take a pivot year, then do what you got to do. I know so many people who decide to like, they go to work their day job, and then they go back to school, for example.
Yeah, night school is a big thing. Mm-hmm. And also, it depending on what you've studied, like let's say you're really into the arts, but currently you're working like an engineering job, or not even engineering job, some business company as an accountant. Maybe you can like start applying for jobs for an art related company, but you know, you go in as an accountant, you apply as an accountant, like when they say you have an opening. So now you're in like surrounding yourself with artists, and then you can start networking with people that you may relate to more. You might be doing a job that you still don't exactly like, but at least you're surrounded by people that are doing things that you want, and you start networking with them. They start giving you advice, and then well, now that you're in that world, it's easier for you to transition, right? Because I've seen that happen where people, they want to become, whether it be an artist or a singer, and they can't do that. So they start working in a field that maybe supports other artists and singers through business or through funding and stuff like that. And then they start getting connections where those people that they're helping are willing to give them some advice or even help them in whatever they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So that's another way of kind of like trying to pivot by like slowly. So instead of like a 90 degree pivot, you're like doing a very slow like 5 degree pivot as you slowly get to whatever your next goal is or your ideal career is.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, just surround yourself with those people.
This one says, do you think having a toxic family can affect a person's chances of getting married?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
With no hesitation.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think they say like the biggest things that lead to divorce is like money, family, and like the actual relationship. There's a list of like the big things, right? So I don't know if it's a big three or big five or whatever, but definitely one of them is family.
Yeah, but like sometimes like someone could come from like a really toxic situation, but they may not be toxic on their own. It's just like a
It has nothing to do with the individual.
They're guilty by association type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
We've seen it happen. Like people, the couple themselves are perfect, but the family, like it may be to whoever your partner is, it's important to have a very good relationship with the family, or at least for them to be accepted by the family. But if your partner is accepting you, but their family is not, that can be a deal breaker for someone, right? So you want to make sure that for some people, maybe it isn't. So that those will be like more of the, not external cases, but like the outliers.
Yeah.
But mainly people want to have a good relationship, because remember, you're going to be dealing with them for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And I think in those situations, the best way to go about it is boundaries.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, It would only hurt your chances if you're part of a community that like vets a person by looking at who their family members are. So us, for example, in the Haredi community, a lot of times when you want to get married, your parents will ask like, who's their family?
That's the first thing they ask a lot of times.
Yeah. They ask who are their parents, so that they can ask about like, do they come from a good family? And the reason why is because usually if you come from like parents that are known to be religious and in a sense or like cultural, then they assume that, you know, hopefully the child possesses those same types of like values and morals. But it's not always the case. So even if like, you know, I've heard people like sometimes when we're just casually talking, I've heard not my own parents, but like some people will say, I'm not going to say who, but like, say someone our age, their name gets brought up, and I'll hear like, no, like her, that person's parents are not all that. And so I'm like, well, you're just writing off someone just because of who their parents are. It's not always fair. Mm-hmm. So yeah, unfortunately, it does hurt your chances. Yeah. But if you meet someone and you two have a really strong bond, ultimately, like, the decision is yours to marry each other, right? Like, it shouldn't be your family's decision. I know, easier said than done. There are a lot of situations where, like, the parents say no and they stop the two people from getting married, and that's always unfortunate.
Yeah. But also, when you do get into a relationship, if you don't build those boundaries, like, they will try. And if they didn't want it to begin with, they will try their hardest to, like, get in between you guys and, you know, what do they call, sow the seeds of
doubt.
Doubt, in the relationship. And you know, sucks. I've seen it myself, you know, it's horrible when you see it happen, but
I know
that's why family is a very important thing when it comes to relationships. And but you can't make it work. It's just gonna be hard. It's not gonna be easy.
It's a sensitive situation because you grow up with your family, you love them, whether it's parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever. And so, like, a lot of times you value their opinion, but when it comes to picking a spouse, at the end of the day, just remember, you're the person that has to live with them. Like, yeah, your family's an extension of you, but they're not going to be having to live with this person day in and day out, and then eventually having kids with them and, like, raising kids with them. Like, I don't know, just good luck.
I don't know what it does make a difference. I feel like it makes a little bit of a difference depending on two things: distance and whether you know not you guys are gonna have kids.
Oh yeah,
right? Because let's say you either both live far from your families, or maybe one lives close to family, depending on which family is the one that's mainly giving the problem. That's where you can kind of make it work. But then if you're planning on having kids, remember, once you have a kids, that's when they really want to get involved. And that's where things can get a little tricky. So, you know, just some things to think about for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. What are your top five countries you've been to?
Top five? Oh, shoot. I can't think about that. Ethiopia. You know, I got to shout out the homeland, the motherland. Okay. Ethiopia. Italy. Mainly because just I always talk about Venice.
You
man.
Love
I feel
Venice.
Like I talk about it too much.
You
man.
Love it. Yeah.
Spain was really good too.
Yeah.
Spain was definitely up there.
Two more.
The thing is, like, I've been a lot across. Okay, Canada. I can't use my
Canada. No, that doesn't count.
Who's a good one? Oh, Switzerland.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say
Switzerland's
that.
Yeah, Switzerland's definitely up there. What is that? That's four, right? What's another big one? I've been to multiple countries.
You weren't crazy about Sweden, huh?
Huh? No.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, I wasn't crazy about it.
The plane ride ruined it for you, huh?
Yeah, that did kind of ruin it for me. That Dornier spot in Sweden that, like, gave me the worst stomach pain I've ever... Literally, like, hospitalizing stomach pain. But their subway was really nice. That's the thing I really liked. And, like, how deep it went. It was just cool, like, how... the infrastructure for it, just seeing how they built that out, and they didn't hide how they dug out the tunnels. Like, they didn't make it look all nice by, like, adding a bunch of giant tiles. Like, they exposed all the rock, which made you feel like, I don't know, felt more grounded. Cool. So I got distracted. What was the other one? I'm right now I'm like going between I can't like what was the recent one sorry Nassau You know what? Yeah, Nassau. I'm going to say Nassau for sure.
Okay.
In the Bahamas, or I guess the Bahamas in general, but Nassau specifically, like that is, I think it's just because of the Airbnb that we got.
Yeah.
But that was like a dream spot. Just in the location, the weather was perfect, you know, just the vibes. Everything was just beautiful about that place. So I feel like that one, that one like got to the top of my list for sure. So what was that? What I said... So if I rank them, I would say like Nassau.
Wow, number one?
Okay, I think it's recency bias.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Nassau, Ethiopia, Spain, Italy, and then Switzerland. Yeah, that's how I'd put it.
Okay.
How about for you? You got like all the, I know what you're gonna say. Oman's definitely gonna be maybe Bahrain or like Dubai.
Absolutely not Bahrain. But okay. I wanna say Saudi Arabia only because my Umrah trip was for me
a if I had been to, I would have made I put it on my list.
Yeah. You cannot put it, you know? So Oman for sure. Saudi, yeah. You forgot Australia. Ethiopia.
Yeah, Australia was more like family stuff. Like I wouldn't Right. Yeah. Other than that, it kind of just reminded me of Canada.
I wish you got to like go to Sydney and like just like
I did go to you went no, to Sydney? I didn't go to Sydney.
You
I
went to Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was nice, but it was just very Western.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like
yeah,
it reminded like the golden not the golden the road you went down.
Yeah.
That one was really nice. I really liked that, but it did kind of remind me of just PCH.
Oh, Great Ocean Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really nice. I like that. Okay, so the two Arab countries. Ethiopia is always a good time. Not just for family, but like I think just like the history overall too. I hope that in the future if we go back that we get to explore more of it. Let's be real though, we're probably gonna spend it all with family.
Yeah.
Switzerland is a fave. What is that?
That's two. Oh no, you said that's four actually. Yeah. Damn. Saudi, Oman, Switzerland, and Ethiopia. Would you see Australia?
That'd be top 10, not top 5.
Portugal, Spain. We went to Spain together too. I don't know.
But it's like, did I like Portugal more? Did I like Spain more? Did I like Turkey more?
Turkey too. Yeah.
I feel like
you've been to more countries than I have.
I think you explored Europe more than I have.
Yeah. Like, you know, you've been to London. You've been to Paris.
Oh, London.
You really like London like that? Really?
I'm a London gal. Just saying.
Shout out to all the London listeners, but.
I was only there for 3 days, but I loved it.
You like the tight streets. Everything just feels tight
London. You know what it was, though?
What?
It's like I grew up like loving the Spice Girls. I watched all the Brits on YouTube. Like, I was just like, I'm here.
Yeah.
It was like the first time I went to LA and I just like channeled my inner Lauren Conrad. Yeah. Okay, maybe not London, but I would say, I don't know what my fifth one would be.
LA?
This isn't a country.
I guess so, yeah.
And I would never pick the US of A. Sorry.
I like specifically did not mention anything in USA for that.
Even though your wife is American and sitting.
She wouldn't even pick anything. She couldn't, but she could. She wouldn't pick anything in America, would you? No, she's not here.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll just like stick to that. Okay.
Would you?
You know, I've never been to the national parks and I hear like that's the real draw.
If I was gonna go to one, I would probably do like Yosemite or Grand Canyon, I feel like.
Okay. If we did those. But though our list will change for sure.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of places I still want to go.
What are our next travel destinations?
Literally, as I said, a lot of places I want to go. I think nothing specifically. Okay. Maybe like Japan for sure. Japan is like one of them.
You're not going to Ethiopia at the end of the year?
Huh?
You're not going to Ethiopia?
No, but like that's a given though. Oh. I feel like what's like a unique one?
Oh, like like aside from that?
Yeah, it would be like either Tokyo. Honestly, like China.
Okay.
Like you know how I've been getting a lot of TikToks from China. Of like the Gongcheng region. You know the ones? Have you ever seen those TikToks of like China at night with all the lights in the buildings? Like they have these very unique looking buildings, and like they have this city where it's like different levels. I think it's built on a mountain where literally your building will say you're on floor like 0 to 10.
Yes.
The 10th floor will be like their first floor of that row, and there'll
the
be like cars
the
there.
Yep. It's I know crazy. Exactly what you're talking about.
I need to find out what city that is. But they have like a train that goes through a building.
That's crazy.
And yeah, so that city, like just seeing how it was put together and like how it looks at night versus a day and the, I don't know, the architecture alone, I would just want to see it for that. But other than that, yeah, I would say like either Tokyo or Malaysia, Bali, something like, or like even as like a couple's destination would be, what's that one where it's like the islands are in the middle of the water? Maldives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was actually a spot I was thinking of going to after the wedding.
Yeah.
But for timing wise, we're like, it literally take 2 days to get there. We only have a week, and then it's like, you get to stay over like 2 nights, and then, it's just,
True.
And it costs money.
It is the more pricier of the honeymoon destination.
Not as pricey as I thought it would be. It is pricey, but
for
like,
Maldives?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on the hotel, but like,
it's not as pricey as you think it will be.
Really?
I need to look it up again. Let me see. 1 second.
I feel like I looked it up once.
How much is 5 nights at the Maldives, including plane tickets?
It depends on the hotel.
Yeah, it can be a... what the hell?
what the heck? What did it say?
It said between $2,200 and $7,000 a person. The budget-friendly options are $2,200 to $3,000 per person. For more luxurious packages. So yeah, if you like got the base package, you can get there for about $2,200 to $3,000 per person, which sounds like a lot to y'all, but like these days with like inflation and everything, $2,200 to $3,000 per person is actually not that bad, especially for a 5-night trip.
Yeah, like if you were to get like an Airbnb in like the local...
No, I'm talking about Maldives, like these small islands, like in the middle of the ocean.
You mean the villas?
Yeah, the villas.
$2,200 is not that bad.
Yeah, it was like
it's not $22,000.
No, I'm telling you, because when I was looking at the prices, it did not seem like crazy for what I was willing to spend.
Oh, because it took time. Takes 2 days. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay.
What?
Can you find this in Malaysia?
That's a inside.
Inside joke.
I don't think anyone's gonna get that one.
They're not. It's not gonna be funny to anyone else. But
shout out to Malaysia.
Oh, okay. Neda's calling us out.
What?
When can we consistently expect weekly episodes?
We've been
shots fired.
We've been giving out weekly episodes. Like, okay, we missed one week recently, okay? But other than that, it's been pretty consistent recently.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I had a whole wedding, okay? You know, I'm trying to show my wife the city, okay? Like, chill, bro. Like, we're just trying to like chill out here and like we have fun in the summer, okay?
Why the Toronto man accent?
That's not, I don't know what accent that was. Yeah, that was a mix of a lot of things.
Okay. Beard or no beard?
Clearly, whatever this is.
We are team beard.
Yeah, I'm trying to grow one out. I've been trying to grow one out for the past 10 years. Not really feeling it as much as I hope it would. I might have to start using the derma roller.
Do it.
I don't think it actually works. I've seen videos where people say, did you hear there was a whole controversy on TikTok. This is on the male side of TikTok. So there's a guy who was like talking about growing your hairline back, right?
Okay.
And he was selling this like rosemary concoction that he made. Every day he would post like him with a derma roller rolling on his head, putting on his cream that he's been selling, whatever, and showing, oh yeah, look at the growth, guys, this is what it looked like here, and now this is what it looks like here. He's like brushing it down, he's like, I just keep brushing it forward and it grows in. About a year of this, he's selling all his products, and he comes out, he's like, okay guys, so I finally did it, I got a hair transplant.
Wait, why?
For real, this guy this whole time was selling them about like growing his hairline back. Turns out all he was doing was growing his hair from the back. And he would wear a do-rag and then brush his hair forward, and it would look like his hair is going back. But really, if he just pulled his, like, if someone was there to push back his hair, or it would show off where his real hairline is, where it was receding from before. But yeah, he got a hair transplant and didn't address the controversy at all. Just kept going. Like, this is a new, basically, it was like a new niche for him, or a new shtick for him. Where instead of being the guy trying to grow his hairline back, he was the guy showing his hair transplant progress and didn't address it at all. I think he was still selling his rosemary stuff. It was a whole grift. It was funny. It's just seeing it play out on TikTok, because I knew the guy was like grifting from the beginning, but it was a whole thing on TikTok from the, you know, barber side of TikTok or hairline growth side of TikTok.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen that, like, I don't know which video you're talking about, but that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I need to find his name, but I can't.
It's not the white guy, right?
No, it was black guy.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's directly for me.
What?
I feel like our old Q&As used to all be at Amir, and now they're like Sara.
Yeah, they're not interested in me anymore. They got this on my hand.
Mm-hmm. Damn it. The pressure is on. Sara, what are you looking for in a man? How important is money?
Yeah, Sarah.
And then that person followed up, Sarah, do you want work? Oh, do you want to work after marriage?
I can answer that second one.
Yeah, I do want to work after marriage. I do want to raise my kids, but I'll figure that out when that time comes. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out.
Answer the first question.
The first one. What are you looking for in a man?
But wasn't there a second part to that about money or whatever?
How important is money?
Yeah.
You know what? I think if the man has enough to fulfill his obligations.
So you're not going 50-50 on that rent?
Probably not.
Really?
It depends. Like, yeah. It depends. If like, let's say he picks, obviously, like, something to my liking, but, like, picks a place. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I'm satisfied with this. And he says that he can afford the rent, then do you, boo. Mm-hmm. But if I say that I want something bigger or want extra amenities, then, yeah, I guess I could pitch in because I'm the one that's asking for more type of thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's my stance on that. Is money everything? No, but I think I would want someone that's, like, financially responsible. You know?
Financial responsibility. Honestly, that's more important than anything.
Yeah.
Financial responsibility.
Because you could be making six figures, but if you don't know how to save and you don't know how to be efficient and smart with your money, then it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's a big thing that women should look out for in general when it comes to men. Mm-hmm. Is that, like, there are men who can look like they're rich but actually be broke. And that's a big thing, right? Like, you know, you're with this guy, he's picking you up in his AMG. You know, he has a nice watch. And, you know, he seems like he's like, he wears some like nice clothes, but all that could be just for show.
Yeah.
Like, you got to see, depending on how far you are in that relationship, I would actually start asking, okay, let's see what you got on the books. Like, what are you talking about? What are you, invested? What are you, where are you putting your money? How are you saving it?
Right.
Like, you know, break down. Or not break down, but break down the finances, essentially. Mm-hmm. But try and get a gauge of, like, what their financial literacy is.
It's hard when you're, like, getting to know someone, because talking about finances can be so, like, personal. Mm-hmm. But it's important, because aside from, like, compatibility and chemistry and attraction and all those other things that you typically would look for, you gotta look for the finance. Like, not from a gold digger perspective. I hate when guys are like, oh, you're such a gold digger. You don't even have gold for me to dig.
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about? Literally, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't like when people have, like, when guys come at you with that mentality. And a lot of times, guys that make less than me anyways.
But the ones who are coming out with that mentality, you wouldn't want to be with them anyways.
Thank you.
So honestly, they're doing you a favor by saying that, because you're like, oh, thank you for showing me that you're not the person I'm looking for.
Right. And if you can find someone that's transparent about, like, you know, like, here's how much I make, and here's how much I, like, my monthly expenses, for example. These are my financial responsibilities. Always find out if the man that you're talking to or that is courting you has, like, financial responsibilities outside of, like, just regular bills. Like, maybe he supports younger siblings or his parents or family back home or whatever, because those are things that are going to impact his cash flow. And while it may not affect you while you're still, like, dating, it's going to affect you when you're married.
Yeah.
So you got to like, pay attention to that too.
I don't know if this is going too far. And like, even when we were getting to the point where, like, okay, this is definitely, like, a done deal. Like, we're going to get married. Like, I was very open about, like, finances. I was, like, open up accounts and stuff like that. But, like, maybe it's good to be like, okay, let's see what your monthly expenses are, where your money's going. Maybe it does require you to get that detailed the deeper you are in that relationship. Like, when you're at to the point where you're literally about to tie the knot, that's when it really comes down to be like, okay, let's see, like I mentioned earlier, what money you currently have in the bank, but also what your in and out cash flow is.
Yeah.
Because it can look good at one point, but then you don't realize, like, maybe someone just gave them some money. They're trying to front you, essentially, right? But those transactions, you can't really mess with, especially if they don't expect it. Those transactions can't really be hidden as much.
Yeah, and
maybe that's a little too much, but I'm just saying, like, nowadays it can be a little tricky.
But you should also discuss, like, spending habits, like what you're comfortable spending on.
Yeah,
because, like, you. like some people might have the mentality of like, you know what, I worked really hard this month, I'm gonna treat myself by buying myself like a luxury item. And to you, you're like, yeah, this makes sense to me, this is something that I've planned for and I'm gonna make the purchase. For some people, they are like, what are you doing? Why are you spending that money unnecessarily? Like, they're a bit more, I don't want to use the word frugal, but they, maybe their priority for spending doesn't involve like luxury items, and they look for, maybe they want to spend more on experiences. Like, let's go on a trip versus buying a pair of shoes or a purse or whatever, you know? So like, talk about that too. Like, that's a form of compatibility too, I think.
Like, also find out what their credit score is.
Yeah, that's pretty important. One guy actually told me one time what his credit score was, and I was like, is that important? And I look like I looked it up, and I was like, oh my god, no, that's very important.
Because when you're when you guys are looking for an apartment together and, you know, trying to co-sign together, that really does come into play. So just keep that in mind.
But in terms of what I'm looking, because I feel like I answered the second part before the first one. What I'm looking for a man, I mean, I don't know if I want to like put it out here like that. It's like putting myself on blast. He'll know when he finds him. Like, and do I want to work after marriage? I do. I do want to work. Okay. Next question. Another one towards me. Now I'm sweating. This is too much. What happened with your first engagement? I'm being cheeky. You don't have to answer.
You don't have to give no details on the design, okay? Just say, you know, you weren't compatible.
It just didn't work out. You know what? I feel like I've referenced it a lot without, I guess, getting too into it. It just, I was young and so was the person that I was with at the time. And, you know, I think we both had a lot to figure out separately. And so, for a moment it's like we were going like this, but then it was kind of just like hard for us to really find ourselves in that situation. And you know, at the time I didn't understand it, but now looking back, like, I hate to say, I mean, I don't hate to say this, but like, it possibly was like one of the best things that could have happened to me. Just looking at like the trajectory of my life and like where things have ended up, like, alhamdulillah for that. But yeah, it just didn't work out. And, you know, hindsight is 2020. I think I was planning to like actually get married in 2020. And then COVID happened. So it was like almost never going to happen. I don't know if it would have, what would have happened if we went through with it or not. And like, you know what I mean? So.
But also, I think that brings up the question of like whether it's, I already have a bias on this, but whether it's better to like find yourself together, if that makes sense, or like find yourself as an individual and then go out seeking a partner. In my opinion, I feel like you should like know yourself and like be comfortable with yourself first before going out and looking to be in a long-term relationship.
I actually like, agree.
Go on a journey, figure out who you are, figure out what you want in life, and then start looking for a relationship. Like, because I feel like every time someone is either in the middle of that journey and they, you know, get into a really deep relationship like that, and they still don't know who they are, and then now they have someone they're like dedicated to for the rest of their life, and they're discovering maybe what they wanted is different. It causes a lot of issues, man. And you don't know, like, you're not making decisions that a more well-established or like a person who actually knows himself would make. You're making kind of rash decisions that hurt someone else at the end of the day. So it's important to, like, I always tell people, like, if people are looking for a partner, I'm like, okay, let's make sure, you know, you're investing in yourself first, right? Do you feel like you're ready for, like, ask yourself as an individual, do you feel like you're ready to take on something as big as marriage? Because this is a lifelong commitment to another person,
right?
So if you do not feel ready yourself, or you feel like, oh, you know, yeah, I feel like I can be married right now, like, you know, you should really know for sure that you're ready before you start making a decision like that.
You know, I'm thinking back to that time in my life, and you know, I remember like when things ended, I didn't recognize myself, because in that relationship, I think I was trying so hard to like
be someone you weren't?
Yeah, like be the person that my partner at the time like could accept. Mm-hmm. And it's not that like I don't think he didn't accept me for me, because he did ish. Mm-hmm. But like it just like we were from two different worlds, and like it just at the time just it didn't work out. But because I wasn't so confident in myself, and I didn't know myself the way that I do now, I was so lost when I left that relationship, and it took a very long time for me to heal from it and then like learn about myself and get to know myself. And you know, going through that has taught me, you know, what I do want in relationships, what I don't want in relationships, what I'm willing to put up with and what I'm not. And so I learned so much more like during that relationship, and then even after, I feel like I learned even more than when I was in that situation.
Yeah. And that's maybe an important question to ask your partner. Like, you know, try and gauge whether you feel like they are ready, if that makes sense. If you are a person who already feels like you're ready, or like you're established, you know yourself, I feel like it's easier to kind of tell if someone else is in that same place. So it becomes easier for you to kind of like filter out the ones that are not ready, and like you don't have to waste your time with.
Yeah, like the worst scenario, not the worst, but like it's really annoying to get with someone or to get to know someone, and then they treat you like a therapist because they're like, oh, you're healed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's really annoying, because while in a relationship, you do share some of the mental and emotional load of your partner. Mm-hmm. You're not solely responsible for fixing someone.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to like truly understand that, because I back then used to believe that like your partner was your source of happiness.
Mm-hmm. No, you are your own source of happiness.
Say wrong about that one. Because that's the first class ticket to getting disappointed constantly. So you got to be like happy and fulfilled within yourself before you expect that from someone else.
Yeah. Funny enough, that's one thing I learned from Will Smith.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Will Smith, when he was talking about like his relationship with like Jada Pinkett, he's like, one thing I did realize in the relationship is that like you are responsible for your own happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not your partner's responsibility to make you happy.
Yep.
So like if you're not happy, it's like go out and fix out yourself. Like, don't blame your partner for it. Like, you have to try and find it yourself.
Yeah. Another question about the engagement.
Oh my god.
How did you break off your first engagement? Deal with the aftermath. Advice for the people. Well, it was long distance, so it was a simple phone call. How did I deal with the aftermath? A lot of tears. You know, it was a sad time in my life, and like I didn't know how to deal with it at first. So I honestly, like, I'll be very, very, like, honest for a second. I feel like during that time, I actually felt like a shell of a person. Like, I remember going to work and my body was present, but my mind was just, like, gone. I was elsewhere. I don't know where.
Yeah.
And then at the time, I was planning to, like, I wasn't going to stay in Toronto long term. And so I was taking a lot of like contract positions. And so I was in a contract position, and my manager at the time saw that I was in such a depressive state. And she has been through three divorces before. So damn. She
okay. I'm just saying, okay. We should have her on asking dumb questions.
But like she got it. You know, she saw me and she's like, ooh, she's not doing so well. But what
she did, I can't
tell
if I should take advice from her or not take advice from her.
Well, what she ended up doing at the time, like I felt like my world was truly crashing down, but she ended my contract, so I got fired.
Oh my god, that is like, hey, I see you're really down, so I'm just gonna fire you.
Let me just kick you while you're down there.
Exactly.
In the gut too. And so she gave me some life advice, and she's like, listen, take it from me as someone who has gone through three divorces, like use this time to truly like take care of yourself and get to know yourself. And I was so pissed at her, because I'm like, how dare you fire me and then try to give me breakup advice, like what the heck. And
she didn't get divorced three times, so she makes good and bad decisions. She put them both together.
I hope she's having a nice life wherever she is. I forgot her name, but anyways, I just remember like in that moment, you know that one SpongeBob meme where his hands are out and then everything's blurry? That was me, because I was like, I feel like one part of my world came crashing down. And yeah. while it's like crashing, this part of my world came crashing down. And mm-hmm. it was just like, I was down bad. I was so like, for me, I just felt like life couldn't get any worse. Mm-hmm. But you know, despite how sad I was, mm-hmm. Where I truly found comfort, honestly, like I'm not even trying to sound preachy for a second, mm-hmm. was like when I stood to pray, mm-hmm. I'm not joking. It was like a pause on my emotions for like 5 minutes or however long I took to pray. Mm-hmm. And that was like the time where I actually felt any level of like relief, mm-hmm. like for like a little bit. And I remember when I got fired, like I was the worst feeling is getting fired and having to take the TTC home.
Oh, this is right before COVID too, right?
Okay. Yeah, this is like before COVID. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking the subway home and I held it in. I wasn't crying. Yeah. Okay? I held it in. I was so strong. And
I know what's happening.
I was like texting my brother on the bus, right? I was so close to home. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got off the bus, he was like, he called me at this mm-hmm. point. And so I'm like ugly crying, like sobbing uncontrollably.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and mind you, I used to go to work with my dad even back then.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to tell dad I'm such a failure? How he's going to be waiting for me after work and I'm not there. Like I'm at home. He's like, it's fine. I'll tell him. Mm-hmm. So my brother tells my dad. Mm-hmm. And as I'm like putting the key into the front door, my dad calls me and he was like, hey, my dad's so funny. You know what he said to me? What? He was like, hey, so are we meeting at our usual spot? He knew damn well I was at home. Okay. And I was like, no. sobbing. And I was like, I got fired. Yeah. And then his response was so cute. He's like, and that's okay. You're not the first and you're not the last. Uh-huh. And I was like,
he said that?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Okay.
Yeah. It was like, he's like, listen, it's okay. Like trying to comfort me. Mm-hmm. He's like, we'll talk more when I get home. Like just, you know, take a nap. Like, don't worry. It's fine. And so, you know, like life was a little shitty for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But through the shittiness, I found I really worked on my iman. Mm-hmm. Like truly, because I had nothing else to do at this point. Yeah. I was at home. And then, you know, my parents, I don't know why, like this is always our parents like first resort. Mm-hmm. They were going to send me to Ethiopia because they were like, she's so depressed. Like maybe if we send her to family, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
But they had like the pre-COVID outbreak at that point. So they're like, maybe not. It's not safe over there.
You literally have been trapped there.
I know. Oh my God. Imagine. Mm-hmm. But instead I decided like they sent me off to Turkey mm-hmm. and Dubai. So I had a little moment there. And
shop till you drop,
yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, you know, I had told myself like, okay, I gave myself like 2.5, almost 3 months of like being sad and started interviewing again. Mm-hmm. And then in December of 2019, I did an interview for the company that I work for now. So mm-hmm. that was like, what, 5.5 years
Damn,
ago?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got the job, alhamdulillah. And then mm-hmm. I've been with that company ever since. Obviously, like, moved my way around the company. Yeah. But that's kind of, like, the story. Obviously, let me just make it clear. Like, it's not like my life just instantly went for the best once I got a job. It actually had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. How I felt when I got that job was like, okay, clean slate, because no one in this office knows my story. Mm-hmm. So like I can put my head down, compartmentalize and like just do my work and go mm-hmm. home, which is what I did until COVID happened. And I was in like a state of shock because that meant that I was going to stay home with my parents for the unforeseeable future.
Yeah.
And deal with.
Hey, 2 weeks.
Well, it was way more than 2 weeks.
No, I remember when they said 2 weeks initially.
Yeah.
Because everybody had that in their mind. They're like, oh, 2 weeks. And then they just extended it. Like, okay, maybe 3 weeks. And then it just never, no one knew when it was going to stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like panicking because mm-hmm. I, like healing is not linear. Mm-hmm. And so there would be like random moments that I would be triggered and I'd just start like sobbing and crying. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know like how to go.
Well, you were mourning. It's almost like mourning. The relationship is like, it's almost like a person. So you're like mourning.
Yeah, you're mourning someone that's still alive. Yeah. It's such a weird feeling. Mm-hmm. And like, I didn't know how to explain that to my parents. Mm-hmm. So sometimes like if I was like sad or whatever, they'd be like, you're still sad. And I'm like, just leave me alone. Okay, you don't get it. Yeah. You don't understand, guys. Mm-hmm. But I think it wasn't until 2021 that I decided to finally start therapy, because I was like, I'm going through the trenches.
Yeah.
This, and then also decided, like, let's also do a podcast too. Which is like crazy.
You had two outlets, you know?
I did. Mm-hmm. Had I'm two sure outlets. Helped. Oh, 1,000% it helped. And yeah. I think, like, through the podcast, I was able to find myself again. And I think maybe you too. Not that you were going through a breakup at the same time, but like just in general.
I feel like when we started the podcast, I had already gone through the journey of finding and now it's just me like telling people what I did.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's kind of how I went through it.
But do you feel, I was going to say, do you feel like it was easier though, since it was more long distance, so you didn't have to like deal with the actual person being there?
In a sense, yeah, but you know, with long distance relationships, like because you can't physically hang out with each other, all you have is like talking on the phone or text. And it's like really in-depth conversations all the time. And so like I missed that aspect. And while I had like a great support system around me, like amazing friends and family who were always around, it just like I think I had to recalibrate myself, because while they were like filling up my cup, it's like it's not the same drink.
Yeah, you know. That's a line right there.
Yeah, it is
a
line.
There was a line Hanan said today.
Oh
my god, I forgot what the line is. No,
Hanan, what was the line?
Oh, it was like
do you remember it?
She remembers it. It was like, as we age we get older.
Because at the end of the day go end.
Sorry, I just remembered that today. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm sorry.
She's mad. Don't embarrass her like that. That's a good line.
It is. No, it was just a funny thing that happened today. Yeah, it was funny. Okay. Okay, we're good.
If you could invite anyone on your podcast, who would it be and why?
Ooh, my mind's going in crazy places right now.
Actually, we have two of the same questions. Zabida and Sabri both asked, like, what podcaster would be the collab of your dreams? So same thing, I guess.
Who would be the podcaster of our dreams? I don't know. I'm like, my mind is going like,
are you thinking like celebrity?
Like religious figures.
Ooh.
Like with everything that's going on right now, maybe like an Omar Suleiman or something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Or if it's a celebrity specifically.
I don't want celebrities on here. Celebrity do you want? It depends. Like Will Smith. Maybe not.
Will Smith. Maybe like someone like a Bassem Youssef.
Oh.
Yeah. Bassem Youssef, when it comes, I'm just thinking because these are like the things that I'm seeing every day now. Of what's going online. And like another one might be like a I'm trying to remember what their name is.
I'm blanking. I can't think of someone.
Shoot, I can't remember their name. But there's another, like maybe when it comes to celebrities, I know it's kind of random, but like Tyler Creator, because I feel like he's motivational. You'll get it if you listen to one of his interviews.
Okay.
Because he's very much like, he doesn't talk about what he makes. He talks about what he makes, but he talks about like just having passion and like following your passion.
Okay.
So like just very motivational stuff.
I like that.
If it was a celebrity, if I were to choose a celebrity. But yeah, those were my three right there. Bassem Youssef, Omar Suleiman, and if I had to choose a celebrity, it would have to be like Tyler the Creator or something.
I don't know that I have. Ooh, imagine we had like Kehlani on here.
Kehlani would honestly, I would ask Kehlani out to be on here just so I can see like what her activism, how it affected her career. Because I'm sure that was like had a huge effect on her career in general. She was still able to like work through it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it like closed a lot of doors, maybe opened some other ones, but definitely closed a lot of doors.
Yeah.
And that'd be interesting to see from a big artist like that, from their perspective, like how things have changed just because they spoke for people's rights.
Yeah.
Bisan would be
really cool to have her on. Honestly, I don't know if I have like a particular person in mind. I think I would just want someone that has a very like inspiring message. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a cookie cutter, like rags to riches type of thing, but just like an overall, like, tell us something interesting. Tell us about yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to leave that conversation feeling inspired. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the type of person that I would want on.
Yeah. Cop out. Oh, what's his name? Oh, Lamont Hill. She got it. Mark Lamont Hill.
Who, now, let me see him. Oh, he got fired?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. But he has a lot of other, like, things that he's into. Mm-hmm. He's recently, like, joined as a cast member on, like, Joe Budden's podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, teaching them. He's, like, awakening all of them to what's going on in the world. So it's interesting. He, like, had a huge, like, flat earth debate with half the cast recently. Mm. Yeah, I know.
What did your family and friends think about you guys starting a podcast?
Honestly, they didn't really care.
Like, they were like, oh, okay, cool.
They didn't even know for, like, the first 2 years, honestly. Like they knew, but, like...
Yeah, like, we told them, but, yeah. You know.
Like, I think it was only, like, literally, like, 2 months ago where my mom realized that, like, it was, like, bigger than what it really was.
My...
Yeah, like, we actually cared and, like, made something from it.
Yeah, like, my parents knew, because, like, especially when we... Like, we filmed, like, the first couple episodes at my house, actually. But they used to watch it on the TV. They don't watch it anymore. No, like, they're subscribed. I'm like, hey,
maybe
guys.
That just needs me to, you know, up our content game. That's yeah, what it is, okay?
Right?
Yeah. Or they're watching it secretly.
Maybe.
Because
sometimes my mom does reference things. I'm like,
see?
How do you know
that?
Yeah. How do you know that? Talk about your hijab journey.
Okay, that's a big one.
I'll give you the SparksNote version. And then maybe in the future, if there's a demand for it, I will.
Because you have said it. You have talked about it before.
Yeah. I started wearing hijab when I was 12 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You have a piece of tissue right there.
Oh, shoot.
I'm not going to do you dirty. Yeah, I started wearing it then. I don't want to say I was forced, but I was strongly encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
It was very on and off. Honestly, until high school, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wore it more consistently then. And I've been wearing it ever since. Like, I haven't taken it off since then.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, hijab styles, obviously, I wouldn't say I'm the most perfect hijabi.
Mm-hmm.
I still have room for improvement. But we can chat about that in a future episode.
Yeah.
Sarah, top 3 non-negotiables for marriage. Damn, Amir, top 3 what? Non-negotiables for marriage.
Top 3?
Yeah, so Sarah, top 3 non-negotiables.
Damn, okay. Let's make it quick. So
okay, you go first.
I'm just thinking right off the top of my head. Disrespectful. Like
they can't be disrespectful.
Yeah, they can't be disrespectful. I feel like things people always look for, like disrespectful, not on their dean, or like at least doesn't have it in them at all, that kind of thing. And the third one is... Oh, not good with family. So that is actually a big thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, same with the deen aspect. It's not just like you can't just be Muslim by name. There has to be I have to see like effort in you trying to better yourself and like truly making like dedicating it. I'm not saying you have to be a sheikh, but like you got to try.
Mm-hmm.
Other one would be emotionally intelligent. Like emotional intelligence for me is actually very important because with that I feel like it blankets over like you wouldn't be disrespectful, like you're not going to be a narcissist or a gaslighter. All those things are kind of blanketed under that. And then the last one, is communication under that, because for me communication is so freaking big, like really big.
Yeah.
Okay. Is under
IQ
emotional
or
EQ? Is it?
Yeah.
Or is it separate? Isn't,
okay, no, separate. Yeah.
Then communication would be my third.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't communicate, there's no me and you.
Yeah. I feel like you can make a top 10 list on Steam. We could still fill that out.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, another one for me again. Oh my God. Guys.
We got
Sarah, describing her ideal man. I mean, down to the nationality, looks, MBTICM. What does that mean?
What is an MBTICM?
I have no idea. My bad to...
What is that?
I don't know.
Do you know what that is?
Hold up.
What is that?
Personality typing.
Is that the thing that you do? Is that your question?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not her.
Okay.
That's not her.
I don't know personality types
and all that kind of stuff, but like I said before,
introvert, extrovert.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't want someone who competes with my extrovertedness. Mm-hmm. I'm already extroverted enough.
Yeah.
You know what? Unless you are a man, ask me in my DM. I don't know. That's too much pressure to answer on the spot like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would want someone who has the same or a similar level of like consideration and thoughtfulness towards me that I have towards them. Because mm-hmm. I truly do believe like someone who considers you, that's like a really high form of like love, mm-hmm. you know? In addition to all the other things I mentioned before. But in terms of like nationality, I don't care about mm-hmm. where you're from. And looks, I mean, it matters, but it's all subjective.
They're secondary.
It's all subjective. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes you could be like a
6, but be a 10 in someone else's eyes.
Exactly. Like, mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have one more. This is a good one.
Oh, my. Okay.
How do you solo travel as a Muslim girly? I don't know, because I've never done it. I really want to, though.
Yeah.
I really do want to.
There is this Somali girl that I've seen.
The one that goes like camping and stuff in the forest or whatever, right?
Yeah, she does a lot of like solo stuff. Mm-hmm. I need to find out what her page is called. Let me see if I can find it right now, actually.
I just saw her today, like her TikToks today. I forgot her name.
Oh, okay. So mm-hmm. I found her page. She's called Amina.
Oh.
Yeah, that's easy enough. Okay. So it's technically Adventures with Amina.
Oh.
But yeah, she is a solo traveler and she just goes on hikes in like mountain regions, whether it be snowy or forestry climates, and she just camps wherever she finds. And it's actually interesting just seeing her travel by herself and how knowledgeable she is in all this. And like, it's very scary because especially as a man, it would be one thing, but as a woman and like as a visibly like colored but also Muslim woman, mm-hmm. there are so many things working against you. But the fact that she's still able to do this and is showing her journey can be inspiring. So yeah, just search out Adventures with Amina if you're interested in what the solo travel life is like. But this is very unique kind of solo travel.
Yeah, I was just gonna
say, maybe it's not like exactly what you're looking for, but you know, it might give you that idea, be like, okay, if she can do it, I can do like a simple,
I would say just like thing. Do mm-hmm. your research. TikTok's great. Mm-hmm. A lot of solo travelers post their experiences on there. Mm-hmm. But just do your research on like what is a safe enough city for women.
Yeah.
And then people of color, if you're a person of color. I didn't look at your mm-hmm. profile. But just do your research before mm-hmm. you go and be like socially and spatially aware. Like be aware of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. I know people want to solo travel to like get away, and you can do that in your hotel room, but like lock the doors. Yeah. And stuff, you know what I mean? But when you're outside, mm-hmm. be hyper vigilant.
Yeah.
And safe.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if you have some friends, you know, I know you kind of wanted to decide the whole solo travel, but there's nothing wrong with bringing a couple friends with you.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. If you want to feel safer. But overall, we've been here for a while, guys.
It's hot.
It's actually gotten a little bit cooler, though.
Yeah, because you're sitting next to it.
It definitely. But like still, I don't know if it'll show up in the actual final cut, but there are plenty of times where I'm just wiping my forehead. I got tissue stuck all over my head, my face. Yeah. But we thugged it out.
We did.
We answered most of your questions. If we have any more stragglers, we might answer them in future episodes. Mm-hmm. But until then, make sure to hit the subscribe button and like the video. Leave a comment on what you thought. Any of the questions you heard on here, and you have your own unique answer, you can put them down as well, mm-hmm. and we'll cover those in future episodes as well. But also make sure to hit us on Instagram and TikTok. It's Cousin Connection Pod. You can follow us. We put clips up there too. But you have anything else to say, Sarah?
That is all. That is it. That is all. Have a good night to every, or mm-hmm. good day, or whenever time you're listening to this.
Yeah. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team. with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.